How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello.
Hey, man.
Yo.
How's it going?
Well, it's fine. feel dumb for having hope.
That's what you get for hoping.
That's what you get for believing in something.
It's your own fault. Yeah. Oh, well, let's talk about it, huh?
Yeah, that's what we do.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are here for you Monday through Friday, the only Celtics podcast here for you on a daily basis. Today, on this Wednesday podcast, we are lamenting the fact that the Celtics lost Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals to the Cleveland Cavaliers 112-99. In a game that provided some hope and then stomped on our nuts. So we are the Raining Jays, John Corrales, Sam Jam Packard, my post-game partner, brought to you today by a couple of sponsors, a ZipRecruiter. Yeah, two. We got a national and a local. About that. ZipRecruiter. They know that playoff success is having the right players on the court. The Celtics know that, and we have a deal for you to use ZipRecruiter for free coming up. And our friends at Boston Paintball, I got a deal for you for Boston Paintball. I've been there. It's good stuff. So we want to thank our two sponsors. Not a great post game here to talk about, but honestly, Sam, this is kind of what I thought this series was going to be, where keep it close, each team makes a run, maybe the Celtics do what they did a little bit, but at some point there's going to be a fatal Cavs run. The Celtics will keep it close and the Cavs will run away with it. Now, the first two games didn't go exactly like that, but this is kind of more of what I thought the series was going to be.
Yeah, no, it's... The thing that's frustrating about it is you knew the Cavs had this in them, and you knew the Cavs are just generally the better team. So when the Celtics play a pretty good first half, you want them to keep it closer. They go into halftime up 10. But then the Cavs outscored the Celtics, 65-42. Kyrie Irving and LeBron outscored the Celtics 48-42. It wasn't just that the Cavs played better basketball and like kind of made their way back in the second half. They just completely dominated. And it was, I mean, you knew they were capable of this. We saw this happen in game one. We saw this happen in game two. After game three, you have a little bit more hope. After the first half, you have a little bit more hope. And you got to kind of admire the Celtics fight, but it was just like they had zero answer for Kyrie Irving in the third quarter. He was absurd. It was it They lost that quarter by 17 points. Kyrie had 21 points on 9 of 10 shooting. He was making threes. He was attacking the rim. He hurt his ankle. That didn't seem to matter at all. It just...
Seriously?
I don't know what the secret sauce is in Cleveland. I don't know what sort of HGH they're using. But every single time the Cavs seem to get an injury, they come back stronger. It makes zero sense. But there's just no real answer. And there's like... There's definitely things that I think we'll talk about later that the Celtics could have done better, but at the same time, it's just like if Kyrie's is going to go off, there's not really a player in this league who can stop him. I mean, Avery Bradley is one of the consensus best on-ball defenders for guards in the league, and there's good offense in the NBA is always going to be good defense. So if someone, a scorer, an elite scorer like Kyrie Irving gets locked in like that, I don't know what the Celtics can do other than going kind of matching his scoring point for point. But with Isaiah Thomas not playing, the Celtics roster is just not capable of like, just matching scoring like that. So it was frustrating to, you know, have hope in the first half. But in the end, it's just kind of they are who we thought they were. It's just for both the Celtics and the Cavs.
Yeah, you know, you look at – after game three, and there was that talk about, are they better without Isaiah? I think we saw tonight what the dichotomy is with and without Isaiah. So the first half, the Celtics went out there, and they played pretty well, outscored the Cavaliers 57-47. I think starting Olynyk was a good move. It pulled Tristan Thompson away from the basket. It limited his offensive rebounding. In fact, he only had one offensive rebound. That was a huge part of the first half. The second half... There were a few more offensive rebounds, but that first half was more just a function of the Celtics had a free-flowing offense. They moved around a lot. They weren't their traditional pick-and-roll team like they are with Isaiah. They were more of a just pass it around and cut, and that was kind of effective. That got a few guys going, but when that slowed down, that's where Isaiah Thomas takes over. And when in the third quarter, Kyrie was going nuts and scoring 21 points in the third quarter on 9 of 10 shooting. Okay, so Avery Bradley is mostly on him, and he's just not – Kyrie is just too good offensively sometimes. As great as Avery is, not going to happen. It's not going to be able to – he's not going to be able to stop Kyrie every time. And especially when he had fouls, it's just hard. It's hard to defend Kyrie Irving. So the next best thing is to answer. When Kyrie comes down and scores, you need another guy to come down and score. And if it goes into a duel, then it goes into a duel. But to get outscored by 17 in the third quarter, that's where they needed Isaiah Thomas. The defense wasn't working, so Isaiah Thomas in that situation, you feel like he would have, or at least could have, stepped up and gotten to the rim, gotten some free throws, hit a couple of threes, done something to minimize the damage so that when you go into the fourth quarter, it's not as bad. You didn't just lose 17 points in that fourth quarter. You may have, maybe you go into that fourth quarter with a smaller lead or tied or something. So that's where they miss Isaiah Thomas a lot. So what are you going to do? That's the situation that they're in. There's no single guy on this team that can take over scoring-wise. Al Horford did what he could in the second half, the only player to have double-digit scoring in the second half. Meanwhile, Kyrie and LeBron both combined for 48 points. So well, they're too good.
There is something you can do. The Celtics definitely didn't play the same kind of level they did offensively in the first half. They had a lot more turnovers. I think it was like 4 turnovers in the first 4 minutes of that third quarter to let the lead quickly evaporate. And there's a lot of possessions that were, let's watch Marcus Smart see what he can do. And we've been critical of the watch Isaiah Thomas offense all year. The watch Marcus Smart version of that is 10 times worse. And basically, the Celtics had to play a perfect 48 minutes, and it felt like they did very well in the first quarter. It was even in the second quarter. They both teams scored 28 points, but they needed to be on that Chris ball movement, feeding Al in the post and cutting around. And it just felt like the Cavs' defensive intensity really picked up in the third quarter especially. So it's too much to expect the Celtics to kind of just manufacture points for out of ball movement alone in the second half. But I thought they did definitely make some mistakes, and having 8 turnovers in the second half is just not conducive to them playing good basketball whatsoever. But at the end of the day, if you fix the offense, you know, the Cavs still shot 71% in the second half. So there's got to be fixes on both ends of the courts for the Celtics to have a chance. And I just don't really think they do unless they have a game like game 3 where LeBron James doesn't really try, or I don't know. I don't know what the exact solution is, but watching Marcus Smart try to drive into the paint and flail miserably is not the solution.
No, it's not. Look, the Celtics offense can only do so much without Isaiah. And this is why they are going to go out this summer and trying to get another guy, because they don't have that other guy. In fact, I would argue that they still don't have maybe their primary scorer, where a guy that can go out and, unlike Isaiah, can go and maybe just create without a pick and roll or something like that. Like, it's not – they need somebody else no matter what. So they don't have that guy, and now Isaiah's not there. So you can only ask Al Horford to do so much. I personally, when I look at this game, obviously the third quarter stands out. That's where you gave up a 40-23 advantage for the Cavaliers. I think the second quarter, where it was 28-28, that's where the game was really kind of won by the Cavaliers, in that LeBron James sat down with 4 fouls early in that second quarter. And they had an opportunity, the Celtics did, to build a lead. They went into that second quarter with a 10-point lead. They got the lead as high as 16. But Kyrie Irving went off and scored 12 points late to even things up. And all of a sudden, the Celtics they go into the half with a 10-point lead. Okay, that's nice. It could have been much more. So when you get outscored by 17 in the third quarter, and now you go into the fourth quarter down 7, well, that second quarter, we know not everything would go exactly this way, but if you do what you're supposed to do with LeBron on the bench in the second quarter, then maybe it's a tie game going into the fourth. And maybe that doesn't matter either, but at least you put yourself in a better position. So I think Kyrie's heroics in the second quarter really set up the big killer third quarter, because it just gave him that extra, you know, that extra juice. He knew he was on, and it kept the Cavaliers close enough so when they made their killer run, they put up enough distance between them and Boston to hold them off.
Yeah, no, I think it's another situation where the Celtics miss Isaiah Thomas, because it feels like in that situation they needed to put, like, the killer instinct needed to kick in. You have 6 minutes of LeBron being on the bench, and there's just, no matter how much your kind of your system ball movement offense is, it's just like it's not going to kind of just dominate the game in those 6 minutes. And this, you're right, the Celtics needed to perform better. Kyrie, but that's when really, you're right, Kyrie started his attack. And I thought the Celtics needed to do a much better job. They were lucky to actually be up by 10 after not really capitalizing off that situation. But I don't know. My thought was at halftime is like, maybe Brad has a fancy ATO play where they can try and draw another foul on LeBron. But deep in my brain's heart, I knew that there was no way LeBron foul trouble was going to be a story in the second half. That's just not how the NBA works. You just stars do not foul out of games, and especially when LeBron is like, when he's working the refs during every single timeout when he's on the bench. So that was another reason where false hope crept into the brain of the Celtics fan, and it just ended up punishing up in the end. Because, surprise, surprise, LeBron never picked up his 5th foul in the second half.
that was the most predictable thing, that he would not get a foul in the second half. But so be it. That's, you know, it's coming. And there were times where he did a lot of the same things and they just wasn't going to call a foul. He would have had to punch somebody in the face to get a foul call. So I think the lesson here in game four is that it comes down to personnel, and the personnel that the Cavaliers had on the floor, much better than the personnel the Celtics had on the floor. And without Isaiah Thomas, there's only so much, I said a million times, there's only so much they can do. But there is a lot that you can do if you are a hiring manager and you're looking to get the right people in the door working for you. We know the right players in the court, key to the success, just like we saw, just like I said, your business is no different. You need the right people in the right places. So you need to find the top talent. That's why you go to ZipRecruiter. You can post all of your jobs on all of the top sites, one click, boom. You don't have to go all over the place. You don't even have to know what they are anymore. You just go to ZipRecruiter.com and they will put things where they're supposed to be. So you use their powerful technology to efficiently match you, I'll get this out, to the right people in the positions you're looking for. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. It does not depend on candidates finding you. It goes out and finds them. That's why they're called ZipRecruiter. In fact, 80% of the jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. Now, I've said before, I used to be a hiring manager. I used to do this stuff. I used to put, to have somebody back qualified in 24 hours, that would have given me so much more time. It would have freed me up to do other things in my job that would have, you know, maybe I would have kept that job. So no juggling emails, which I know you always do. Calls to your office, which you hate. I know you hate them because you don't want to talk to people until you've really been able to screen them. But you can simply do that, screen them, rate them, manage your candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. So you can find out today why ZipRecruiter's been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. Our listeners can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. Try it for free today. No matter what size your business is, no matter what size, what types of candidates you're looking for, that's the place to go. So check them out today. Unfortunately, no such thing exists for Danny Ainge in the short term. So we go into game five with the Celtics down 3-1 and hoping to steal another one at home and at least make the Cavaliers play one more in Cleveland. So I don't know if there are any adjustments to be made. I've been thinking about the idea of, and the Celtics did it a little bit, but maybe employing some more zone at times where guys like Kyrie are going off like that and getting to the rim at will and just daring them to shoot, because I think, Sam, jump shooting Cavaliers are, at least, if that's how they beat you, then them driving to the hoop and killing you, that hurts a lot more. So I thought, you know, maybe the Celtics employ some zone defense and just force these guys to shoot over the top of it.
No, the Cavs shot 71% from the field in the second half. And as good as Kyrie Irving was and LeBron James was in the fourth quarter, you just can't expect a team to knock down shots that regularly. And I don't know exactly what the adjustments are, other than just kind of, you just don't expect the Cavs to make that many shots moving forward. And you make a commitment to not turning the ball over and kind of be more deliberate on offense, trying to get it to Horford in the post, cutting, following the classic formula we've talked about, seems like for all year and definitely all postseason. But more, there's got to be something to keep Kyrie Irving out of the paint or LeBron James out of the paint. And if zone's the solution, then zone's the solution. Force them to be a jump shot team. It's just they've kind of built their entire team to be like shooters around LeBron James. So if that means more shots for Kevin Love, who has only knocked down three threes tonight, but then more shots for J.R. Smith, it's the Cavs are such a potent offensive team that there's doesn't seem to be a great answer to playing them. So they got to do something to keep Kyrie off out of the paint. But it, like, it's incredibly difficult because when Kyrie's driving and Kevin Love's in one corner and LeBron James is in the other, how do you really help off of that? Or J.R. Smith's in the corner and LeBron James is the guy setting the pick. It's, I mean, Zach Lowe had a whole column today about the Kyrie-LeBron pick and roll and how it's virtually unstoppable. I just, the whole league doesn't really have an answer for that, so I don't know how the Celtics are going to come up with the answer. The only way the Warriors are going to have an answer is just outscoring them, because the Cavs' defense was not great tonight. It definitely improved in the third quarter, but they were giving up a lot of open looks, and I felt like they've given up a lot of open looks for this entire series. It's just to open game one, the Celtics didn't knock down anything. Game two was a farce. And actually, I just don't think it even happened because I don't remember it. And but it felt like the Celtics had a lot of open looks tonight. They had better looks in the third quarter, too. It's just the Cavs defense not great. It's just their offense is so incredible that I don't know how you adjust to beat that.
No, the Cavaliers are – They're the most dominant team in the East. And when Kyrie and LeBron are going off, forget it. You're toast. And this is, look, I haven't been upset once in these playoffs. I haven't in the finals. And I've gotten shit. I've gotten shit on Twitter. I've gotten shit from Chuck. I've gotten shit from friends of mine over text. I'm so happy and satisfied with how this season has gone. I know that this team, this is their ceiling. Their ceiling was always getting to the conference finals. And I'm glad that tonight showed that they can be competitive in a non-fluky way. Like, LeBron went off and Marcus Smart didn't, and the Celtics were still competitive, and they were there until the Cavaliers pulled away down the stretch. Even after that third quarter, the Celtics got it a little close. They were within, what, five in the fourth quarter? They just didn't have enough. Without Isaiah Thomas, just didn't have enough. So fine. It shows that the Celtics are competitive, and it shows that they do have enough to take advantage of some things for a certain amount of time. I didn't like how games one and two went, but I didn't get too upset because it was like, well, what are you going to do? They missed shots. They missed a ton of shots. And the Cavaliers just went completely berserk. So I look at this and I say, the Cavaliers are just extremely, just so much more talented than the Celtics are at this point. The Celtics, even fully healthy, had to play a damn near perfect series to make this a series. None of these lulls, that third quarter lull, that's bugged them, although it's mostly been second quarters this year, that happens. And when it happens against the Cavaliers, the playoff Cavaliers and not the regular season Cavaliers, they're going to make their run. So I just got to shrug and say, well, they're better. They were always better. And that's just how it is. And I don't care about the top seed. I don't care about the conference finals. The Celtics just, and nobody in the East is good enough. Not the Wizards, no matter what Wizards fans want to say. The Raptors showed that they couldn't do it. There's no team in the East that can compare to the Cavaliers this year in the conference. So it is what it is.
Yeah, no, and the winning of game three and kind of being competitive in game four makes that pill easier to swallow, because if they just came out and were embarrassed like the Toronto Raptors were, then it would be, I can see why Celtics fans would be upset like that. But the Celtics have, I feel like they've done a respectable, put up a respectable showing. They've fought hard. They haven't given up. They haven't quit like Tony Maserati said they did after game two, I guess it's all you can really ask for at this point. This offseason is going to be a lot of fun because there's a lot of decisions to be made. But the one thing, like, I don't think it matters if it goes, the series goes five games or six games. But the one thing is that my nemesis, Justin Rowan, said on his podcast that if it went six games, he would get a leprechaun tattooed on his face. So for the love of God.
Oh, yes.
The Celtics need to pull out something wacky in game five because, oh, my God, if Justin Rowan has to get a leprechaun tattooed on his face, I know he's not going to do it. But just for the Twitter rants I can go on, that needs to happen.
That's amazing. That somebody showed me a tweet today, and I don't even know who did it, but someone said that they would donate their foot to charity if the Celtics weren't swept. So, of course, obviously, I do not expect that, but at some point, you can't tweet stuff like that. You can't put that out there because, look, you never know. And as much as I sit there, I knew coming into tonight, they're probably weren't going to win, and they're probably not going to win game five, but hey, look, you never know. Somebody could go off all of a sudden that those Celtics and the Celtics remain consistently getting open shots. They get the shots. If they can go completely bonkers, you never know. Maybe they will force a sixth game. It's not impossible to think that, but that is something I will tweet shame somebody into doing something like that for sure. Absolutely for sure. He deserves it. He deserves it. Can I just call Maz an asshole for like,
you don't even have to reference his dumb tweet for that. That's allowed on this podcast.
Yeah. But like it takes a certain level. Like I understand, like you can say, oh, there's like, he's a troll and whatever, there's like a knee-jerk reaction when a team gets blown out and they say, oh, well, obviously the Celtics quit, because that's an easy trope that you can throw out there. But he's an asshole because look at everything Isaiah has done this postseason. Look at every goddamn thing that he's done with his sister dying and getting his teeth knocked out and playing through these injuries. I mean, come on. Have a little sense of perspective. Just a tiny bit. Troll some other way. But to say that Isaiah and the Celtics quit, screw you, buddy. Like, that's just so... It's not even trolling. It's so blatantly disrespectful that it blows my mind. It completely blows my mind. And I haven't had a chance to say that on a podcast, so I wanted to say that on a podcast.
I feel like we haven't called out the members of sports media enough on this podcast, but Felger and Maz, you suck. Scott Zolak, never talk about basketball ever again.
Oh, God, it blows my mind. Okay, before we get to Jam's Junk Drawer, I want to talk a little bit about paintball. You know, it's a time of year where we've got all sorts of things. Summer vacations coming up for families. You got weddings. You got bachelor parties. There's always a birthday or something going on. Father's Day is coming up. So there are things that happen every year, and people dread them because they don't have any ideas or they're boring. But you can change that. You could be the best dad or best man, best man. You could be the best brother, friend, whatever, with paintball. And if you're thinking about the old paintball where, you know, bunch of people in Rambo camouflage and face paint running around, that's not how it goes. It's not how it goes anymore. You know, there are guys that go out there, you know, thrill of the hunt, giddy about, you know, getting your friend in your sights. This would be fun, actually, to have me, you, and Jay out there. Is a pull a little poof right out there with, you know, hunting you down. But look, this isn't the paintball that you might remember. It's changed a lot in 20 years. And Boston Paintball promises that you will, in fact, be loved by everyone for your sheer brilliance and creativity by choosing them. Three different versions of paintball to choose from. Kids as young as 8 are out there playing. Bet you can't picture that. But they do. And it's a game for just about everybody. The biggest and best known name in New England for paintball for 25 years, Boston Paintball proudly offers Splatmaster. This sounds so much fun. Splatmaster for players ages 8 plus and new low impact and classic paintball for players who are 10 plus. So the kids could go out there and have some fun with, you know, not get pelted and get all bruised up or anything like that. You just have some fun with the paintball. Private group play is an option, and they have three locations in Massachusetts. Each offers completely different playing experience: indoor and night play in Chelsea, outdoor competition in Woods Ball Fields in Maynard, or check out the real-life 23-building apocalyptic cityscape in Ashland, which I absolutely need to go see. Compete in a hospital, an airplane, and an army. I'm telling you, we need an off-season to go off-season field trip to go to Ashland and play in this 23-building apocalyptic cityscape. Is this not the most awesome-sounding thing?
That sounds like real life, like Call of Duty. That's wild.
I am all of Walking Dead, like. Daryl, I want, if there's a paintball thing with a crossbow, oh, I am in. Boston Paintball got its start over on Causeway Street in the shadow of the old Boston Garden back in 1992. And I remember going there at Emerson, as I date myself, for a senior trip in the old school Boston Paintball building, which was a lot of fun. But they've been in this for a long time, part of Good Times for over a million players, leaders in the field and industry. You can touch your kids and your special occasions. So head to bostonpaintball.com to make a reservation online. And while you're there, get video tours of the facility to help decide which location you want to play first. So go to bostonpaintball.com, book a game with the coupon code GREEN, and you will get $50 off a group package. Go check them out. Let them know that you heard it on the Locked On Celtics podcast. And it's absolutely just, I'm dying to go. I'm dying to go.
Sounds like there's got to be a Rain and Jay's summer field trip.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. That city, that's suddenly become much more important to me than anything that's going on with the Celtics at the moment. I just want to walk through a 23-building cityscape to check them out. Tell them that you heard it on Locked On Celtics for special deals. You'll get, yeah. So check them out. Awesome stuff. All right. Shall we do the...
The junk drawer. Abso-frickin-lutely.
Yeah, let's
do it. That music.
Woo!
All right, to start off, I love the fact that the Cleveland crowd was booing Jonas Jerebko. Like, come on. Just because he told Kevin Love the truth and told him to stop flopping, you're going to boo the only other white guy on the team. It was very confusing for me to see Cleveland hate both Kelly Olynyk and Jonas Jerebko. But it was a great moment to watch. Then I got to give a shout out to Bill Simmons' dad, who has an irrational hatred for Jay Crowder. When I thought Jay Crowder was great tonight, he really was scoring early. He started the game 3-for-3 from three, finished the game with 18 points, 8 boards, 4 assists. He had some dumb turnovers late, but that was definitely after he had that weird slip and fall. And I just don't understand anyone who's blaming any of this loss on Jay Crowder. I thought he had a great game. And was definitely very good at shutting down LeBron early. So, shouts to Jay Crowder. Shouts to Bill Simmons' dad. Avery Bradley's got to finish a dunk eventually. Like, he goes so hard for these dunks, and this is the second time where he just slams it into the back of the rim. And at some point, this is going to go down. It's going to be the most thrilling moment of my life, but not tonight. It just didn't happen. Kelly Olynyk at one point in the second half was taking, I think, took LeBron off the dribble and then hit a pull-up in the lane, and it was dumbfounding. Like, where did this Kelly Olynyk confidence come from, and how can we harness it? Although he may not be back. He may this may be the final couple games he plays as a Celtic, but just for the good of Kelly Olynyk, he needs to harness that confidence he showed against LeBron James and just have it moving forward. In the first quarter, the Cavs scored less than 20 points. That's just never something in my wildest dream that I thought could ever happen. It happened. I mean, they went on to score 90 points in the next three quarters, but that first quarter will have it forever. They only scored 19 points, and it was fabulous. In the second quarter, we saw a little bit of angry Jonas come out. Now, like, the Swedes are notorious for their kind of their short temper and their just their aggression. And it was he got in a little bit of a shoving match with LeBron James. Not a shoving match, but he showed him some attitude. He got the nice he got a slam dunk over Kevin Love. I just like angry Jonas. It's kind of upsetting that he's not upsetting really, but you would have expected him to play a little bit earlier, but we kind of saw it later in the game when LeBron James just possession after possession got the switch and was attacking Jonas Ripko. There was a good reason why he didn't start, but it was just real fun to see kind of angry Jonas. I'm for it. He apparently has a short temper, but I'm loving that stuff. I just gotta say, I was watching on delay tonight just because of my streaming situation. It really hurts your ability to land Twitter jokes, because by the time you send something out, it's like four possessions later and people aren't responding as well. So and I thought I was bringing the heat tonight, but apparently the delay wasn't working. So that was it was upsetting to me. Shout out to playoff Peter Rozier for drawing the fourth foul on LeBron James. I thought that was a huge moment. I thought that was going to swing things again back to the false hope. But got to give a shout out to playoff Tito. Another shout out to the ginger guy in the Celtics jersey who they showed in both Game 3 and Game 4. He was getting a lot of FaceTime as the only guy wearing a green shirt. Gingers don't normally get that much national respect, so good for that guy. I had an interesting exchange with nemesis Justin Rowan Cavsnita. He says that Kyrie doesn't believe the world is flat, and at the end of the podcast, he said, "Of course I don't believe that," and explained his entire take. And I just don't accept that to be true, because I feel like I would have heard of that. Kyrie is a flat earth dude, and if he had said that he actually believed that the world is round, I feel like that would have been reported. So I reject that premise entirely.
Look, once that tag is on you, it's on you. And you can't – I don't know what to think about what he knows and believes. He kind of sort of took it back, but then he didn't the next day. So I'm with you. He's a flat earther.
He's definitely a flat earther. And then there's just no way you can live that down.
Let me tell you something. Anybody out there listening, go search Flat Earth on Twitter. You are going to go down a weird rabbit hole, man. It's just they believe some crazy, crazy things.
I'm all for conspiracy theories, but it's got to be at least somewhat cromulent. Like, moon landing, the moon landing definitely happened. Like, I just don't see how you can fake that. There's some conspiracy theories I can just not get behind. I'm all for JFK conspiracy theories. Those seem like a lot of fun. But flat Earth, just we have satellites in the sky that can take pictures. It's bonkers. My favorite conspiracy theory.
Oh, I see. They got to you.
Who got to me? Oh,
they did.
The deep web.
That's they. You know they are.
I know exactly who they are. But the best conspiracy theory that I've heard is that, like, in the Middle Ages, like from year 1200 to year 1400, we just skipped 200 years. I think it was like the church just decided, no, it's the year 1400 year, like now, instead of 1200, and that just 200 years of history didn't happen. That's a wild conspiracy theory, because you cannot disprove it whatsoever.
That's the beauty about these conspiracy theories. It's hard to disprove many of them.
Except for the flat earth one, because that one's just stupid. All right.
That one's pretty stupid.
Moving on to other stupid things. Who is this rapper Machine Gun Kelly performing at halftime? I've definitely heard of him before, but he was dressed like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George met Carmen Sandiego, wearing this weird yellow jacket. He was terrible. Like, this is the best Cleveland can do for a halftime show? I know Terry Rozier from Shaker Heights right outside Cleveland does not respect this man, and Tito Rozier is the toughest dude I know from Cleveland. I mean, it's like, was Bone Thugs and Harmony? They're not doing anything right now. You can't have them perform Crossroads or something? Like, that didn't make any sense. And then I come to find out that Machine Gun Kelly is signed to Bad Boy Records, the same record label that the Notorious B.I.G. was signed to, now hosts the music of Machine Gun Kelly. It was disgusting. If I want a white Kelly in my life, it's going to be Kelly Olynyk 1,000% of the time.
I have no idea what you're talking about at all.
At this halftime show, there was a whack-ass rapper named Machine Gun Kelly.
I mean, I've deduced all of that stuff from what you're saying. I don't know Machine Gun Kelly at all. I don't know if I should.
He sucks. There's no reason to know about him. Moving on.
Great.
Moving on. Someone on Twitter tonight said I was the funniest reigning Jay. I just thought we should mention that.
I disagree.
Moving on. LeBron missed that.
No. Let's not move on from that. This requires 45 minutes of solid debate. I've written some material.
Well, I feel like
right,
Jay
fine.
Is the
you,
beat.
You win.
Jay's the beat reporter. You're the blogger, like having the Reds Army for over a decade now. I just got jokes. That's all. You can't take that from me. I got goofiness and jokes.
You're a funny guy.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate Twitter for officially bestowing that on me. But let's get to LeBron James missing the go-ahead dunk. I really thought – I don't know what I thought in that moment. It was just hilarious to see. Personally, as a Celtics fan, I like watching LeBron James fail. I respect him, but I enjoy his misery. So him missing that dunk was fantastic. Avery Bradley needed to make a shot in the third quarter. It was really frustrating to watch him miss a bunch of long twos. I don't know what the solution was, but it was – I don't know. That just pissed me off, and it's in my notes. Tyler Zeller, I understand Amir Johnson was hurt and they didn't have any bigs, but – no need to see Tyler Zeller in a playoff game. No need to see Tyler Zeller trying to defend the point guard on pick and rolls. I've given Zeller a lot of grief this year, and he deserves more of it tonight because he was not good, and I'm glad they're not going to pick up his option next year. He's a very nice individual. He's not a very good basketball player.
He is very nice.
One of the nicest guys there is. Like, when I went into the locker room, he was always someone you could talk to. No one really ended up talking to him because he didn't have much interesting things to say, but very nice guy. Good luck to him on whatever team he ends up with next year. End of the third quarter, we got a Marcus Heath. Oh, here we go. What was that carry on LeBron James? Like, what? That was...
I will say, it does appear that the ball got tipped out of his hands.
No, screw Matt Moore for being a highlight truther. Let us have this moment. He had four fouls, and he didn't pick up one in the second half. That was a carry, and I don't care if Jaylen Brown tipped it whatsoever. Screw Matt Moore for being a highlight truther. That was a carry, and I hate it.
Okay.
Fair. Okay, Cleveland, in-game, they have this thing where they called the diff. I don't know what it is, but they kept on telling the crowds that they are the diff, and that the diff makes all the difference. And I get it. I was very confused by it. I got to watch the kind of the Cavs in-game like arena feed. I don't know what the diff is. I don't know. Stop trying to make the diff happen. That was dumb. Kevin Love is the devil, obviously. LeBron James complaining about not getting a call will always be upsetting. Like I said earlier, watching him fail is fantastic. But watching him complain after just like barreling over Kelly Olynyk and is just like being very upset. It's just entirely frustrated, especially when the Cavs are already up by 15. Like, come on, buddy. You're up by 15. Know the situation. You're supposed to have the greatest memory in the history of the world and like situational awareness. Stop complaining about the fouls. This is a little bit of a question for you. Who would you be rooting for in this upcoming finals? Because not even after the series, I could never bring myself to root for the Cavaliers against the Warriors. And I know there's a lot of people out there like, oh, the super team, Kevin Durant. I don't give a shit about that. I cannot bring myself to root for the devil Kevin Love, flat earther Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James. It's just not something I can do. So I'm Warriors all the way in the finals.
I would agree. I don't necessarily care too much, but I think I would rather see LeBron tweaked and have him lose in Cleveland. And like you said, I don't care. I don't care about the Warriors being a super team. I don't care that Kevin Durant went there. I don't care. I have grown to dislike Draymond Green a lot more this season. But I'm not letting that really get the best of me. I want to, and quite honestly, I want to know what happens to Cleveland if they don't win, because that could bother LeBron. Maybe he comes back and he tries to play too much and he plays too many minutes and that wears him down. The ripple effect of the Cavaliers not winning would be very interesting to me, especially since the Celtics are in the East. I want to see the Cavaliers make mistakes. I want to see LeBron pissed off. I want to see maybe if he doesn't get all of the things that he wants, he'll leave. I don't know. But Cleveland losing, that ripple effect, and what it might possibly open up for the Celtics, I'm here for that. So I'm going Warriors all the way in the finals.
What I'm really rooting for is seven games of brilliant basketball, because ever since, what was it, July 4th, where Kevin Durant came out with the Players Tribune and said he's going to the Warriors, we've all known that this was going to be the finals matchup. And we've gone, like, we've had a lot of fun this season, but in the back of our minds, we all knew this was going to happen. So I'm rooting for kind of seven games of good basketball. But in the end, I can't root for the devil or the guy who believes in the flat earth. And Klay Thompson is a chocolate milk spokesman, and that's always hilarious to me. I'm a 1,000 times Klay Thompson fan, so if he can the Warriors are 27-0 since he signed a fan's toaster. Like, that is, like, someone presented Klay Thompson with a toaster, and he immediately just signed it, and the Warriors have not lost since. I don't know how you can root against that. That's just good old-fashioned good times.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I'm in.
All right.
I love the toaster thing.
Final two things. Shouts to Jared Weiss from CLNS Radio, former podcast partner of mine, getting all sorts of FaceTime in these playoffs. I've seen him on NBA TV twice. I saw him on SportsCenter earlier tonight. Shouts to Jared Weiss for getting that FaceTime. That's what the playoffs are for. And then finally, shouts to Ty Lue for the LeBron flipped out at the guy after game three. He was like, why you only come ask for us when we lose? Like, why you only ask questions when we lose? Well, that same guy asked questions after tonight's game, and Ty Lue had the presence of mind to just go, why you only show up after we lose? So, yeah, good sense of humor for Ty Lue. Former Celtics assistant coach, I can't be angry at that guy. He's seems like he has funny answers. He's a witty guy. Definitely a worse coach than Brad Stevens, but you know what? For making light of the situation, he gets the final shout-out of Jam's Junk Drawer.
Nice. Hey, solid. Solid. Love the junk drawer. All right. Well, hey, look, we're on to game five. So I want to thank our sponsors, ZipRecruiter. If you are looking for candidates and you've got a job opening, ZipRecruiter.com/LOCeltics. Try it for free. And also Boston Paintball. Go to BostonPaintball.com. Book a game with the coupon code GREEN. And when you're booking, you do that, you get $50 off a group package. All right. I want to end. I'm going to end on a slightly serious note before we say goodbye. Of course, in reference to the bombing in Manchester, and just another example of the worst in humanity coming out. And not really sure exactly what the words are that are what's appropriate here, other than to say that we can't let the hate win. We can't let we can't let the constant hate be something that we all give into on both sides of this. We can't keep going out and killing each other. We can't, you know, these poor girls, these poor families are just torn apart by a senseless act of violence. You know, I don't even know exactly who is fully behind all of this. I know that there's some radicalization that happened either on an individual basis or, you know, a larger ISIS basis. But, you know, at some point, somebody's going to break this cycle. Otherwise, it's no different than gang violence, or you kill me and I kill you, and it's all that bullshit. I just want to say that, you know, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of reading about it. I'm tired of talking about it. And at a time like this, where we get to escape from it in a basketball game, still in the back of my mind and in the back of many people's mind, it's time for us to figure out a way to stop hating each other somehow to talk or something. If you find yourself saying, I hate somebody, or I hate, if there's a way you can sit down and talk and figure out a way to learn more about a person or something. I don't know what it is, but guys, we all need to come together and figure out a solution, whatever it is. So sorry to end it on a serious note, but this stuff just gets to be too much, and real life gets to be too much sometimes. So we'll be back next time here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.